been around here, or you can look on with somebody. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's all stand reverence to God's Word, if you can. If you can't, that's okay. We wouldn't be able to listen to it or read it going down the highway if you had to stand. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which also I received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." Now, in Corinth, there was some talk going around that Christ didn't die. And I've heard talk of that today. Paul said over in verses 17, he said, "If Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain. Ye are yet in your sins." If Christ has not been risen from the dead, we're wasting our time, people. We ought to be out hunting eggs, getting some candy. But if Christ hasn't risen, we're wasting our time being here. Not to mention, we're false teachers, because if we've ever told anybody there's a God and Christ lives, then guess what? We're lying to them. That's true. That's what the Bible says. It said verse 20, "But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept." Now, I'm going to go over just a hair of what I said this morning. That first fruits, when it is taken from the law of the Jews, the Hebrews, they had to live by 613 laws. In that law, the farmers, the ones that were growing things, when their fruits came up, they would take the very first fruits that come up and they would take them to the priest, and the priest would get to sample them. And the reason why is because it was an example of what was about to come, the huge harvest that they were going to get. When Jesus came out of the grave, just a sample of what's going to happen. One of these days, verse 51, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep." In other words, we're not going to all be dead. When the Lord comes back to get us, some of us in here will be dead. Possibly all of us, but there will be a whole other group of people. But not everybody's going to be dead, but we shall all be changed. Your bodies will be changed. You won't have the aches and pains you have. You won't have the issues going on in your life. It says, "In the moment of a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trump shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." We're going to change between here and Jesus in the air. It's going to happen like boom, right away, and forever we'll be with the Lord. Let's bow. Most kind and gracious Lord, as we go into the sermon this morning, ask, Lord, that you would open our hearts and minds to your word. Lord, give us discernment. Lord, help us to take your word, receive it into our hearts, realize what it's telling us, and then make some changes, Lord, whatever we need to do in our lives. Lord, be doers of the word and not just hearers only. And Lord, we ask that if there is one in the sound of my voice that does not know the Lord and Savior as their Savior, that they do not know Jesus, never of time can they really say that they've trusted the Lord. They don't know for a fact they'll go to heaven. They're just living out the best they can. But Lord, we know that those that call upon you shall be saved. And Lord, I ask that if there's any like that in the sound of my voice, that today they will call upon the name of the Lord. And I thank you for that. I ask you to bless this message. ask you to hide me behind that cross. It is not about me. It's about Jesus. And in His name I pray, amen. You may be seated. Many in the world today seem to be seeing. Well, let me ask you a question before I go any further. I put together this sermon several days ago. The Lord laid it on my heart really last week. And I started studying for it and putting it together. And then the news come out yesterday. And I was least amazed with it. Shocked, to be honest with you. But many in the world today seem to be seeing Christmas and Easter in the same way. Just another holiday. It's just another holiday. Turn with me over to the book of Luke. Book of Luke, chapter 24. Luke, chapter 24. And verse 1. Luke 24, verse 1 says, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them." Now, I want you to understand, they've never had this holiday before. They really did not plan on not finding Jesus. They were coming there to do what? To put spices on the body. They were planning on Jesus being there. These people had spent three and a half years with Jesus. He told them, "I'm going to die. I'm going to raise from the dead." They were coming to take care of the body. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. Woo, praise God, they didn't find a body. We got people running around, "Oh, we're going to use the DNA. How are you going to use DNA? There ain't nobody. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed. You ever been perplexed? Just like, what just happened? "Thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid, and rightly so, and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words and returned from the sepulchre and told all these things unto the 11 and to the rest." They went down there with full intentions of taking care of the body of Jesus. They was going to rub it down with these spices so the stench wouldn't be out there. They get there, the stone's rolled back, and they're like, whoa. And they look inside, whoa, he ain't here. And the two angels had to tell them again, "Don't you get it? He told you he wouldn't be here. Why are you looking in the dead, where the dead are, for the living? He's not here." Just another holiday. When Christmas comes around, oh, we've passed that by a few months. When Christmas comes around, it's all about Santa and gifts. That's what it's about. Santa and gifts. It's not about the birth of Christ. It's just another holiday now. It's about Santa and the gifts. When Easter comes around, it's about a bunny and candy. That really is. It's the main thing. Walk in the stores. All you see is candy, 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 and stupid little bunnies sitting around. And Christmas is the same way. You don't see the baby Jesus laying there. Christmas, when Easter comes around, you don't see them putting up a big stone-looking thing with a hole in it and a light shining and says, "He's not here." You don't see that. No, you see a bunny sitting there. I always thought that was kind of odd. A bunny that laid an egg. I mean, look, I wasn't a rocket scientist. But I was raised on a farm. I saw chickens lay eggs. I never gathered bunny eggs. Never did do that. I always thought, yeah, it's kind of odd. I don't know who come up with that idea, but anyway, I just didn't get it why they did that. Now we've got to, they've decided that Easter, which is appalling, which is shocking, and people ought to be hung for this. Now they're saying, oh, we're going to call Easter Transgender Visibility Day. Listen, God is puking. Amen. He is throwing up. I thought that would be their holiday tomorrow. And if any of you get that, that's April Fool's Day. But Christmas and Easter aren't just another holiday. They honestly are the two most important, very important days that were set aside for us to remember the meanings of why we have them and can truly see how blessed we are by them. Do you realize how blessed we are by them? We are truly blessed. Christmas, honestly, is the day we celebrate the birth of Jesus. It really wasn't December 25th, but that's okay. We had to put a day for it, and they put one, and that's when everybody does it. But that's the day we celebrate the birth of Jesus. And while that's a great day, and it's the greatest gift that could ever been given, it would just be another day without Easter. Without Easter, you see, by eliminating Easter, you eliminate what Christmas means. And that's what their agenda is. They want to eliminate Easter because we can eliminate Christmas, and then it's a waste of time. Lord, we've changed Thanksgiving now to, what do they call it, Indigenous Day. I don't even know what that means. Finally, I looked it up. I'm like, well, that's stupid too. We have went down the tubes pretty bad, but we've... If you ever read the end of the Bible, you know it's going to be that way. As shocking as it is, it shouldn't be shocking. But honestly, I've got to be honest. I was shocked, not to mention pretty angry, but I was shocked. You see, the day Christ died should be a world holiday, not just a holiday in America. It should be a world holiday. And maybe they do celebrate it worldly. I know most places have the Resurrection Sunday, the first day of the week. And it should be. It should be set aside for that. But a lot of them's getting way away from that. You see, that's when the most famous verse in the Bible from the Gospel of John really, really meant what it says. For that day is the day God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, the birth of Christ was a super big deal. It was the greatest gift that we could have ever had. But John 3:16 really doesn't pertain to that. It really doesn't. When He was hanging on the cross, that is when John 3:16 really, really came about. You see, about 2,000 years ago on a Wednesday, I know a lot of people argue, was it Thursday? Oh, it was Friday. Oh, because Good Friday has been celebrated longer than I can remember. It wasn't on a Friday. You can't come out of the grave 3 days and three nights later if it did it on a Friday. And you can't do it on a Thursday. You can't give me 3 days and three nights, make it a Sunday. That's all been false junk. Will it send anybody to hell? No. If you want the truth, go dig around in the Bible, start reading. You'll find out that it had to be on Wednesday. There was a high day, a high Sabbath on Thursday, then there was another prep day, and then they had the Sabbath on Saturday. Jesus went in the tomb at about 6 p.m. on Wednesday, which would have been their Thursday. He come out of the tomb sometime 6 p.m. our Saturday night. He come out because that started their Sunday, their first day of the week. That's why when the ladies showed up, the sun hadn't come up. Oh, that worked. When the ladies showed up, the sun ain't come up. It was dark. They were worrying about how we're going to even see in the tomb. It's dark. He was gone. For that's the day that God loved the world so much that He did give the life of His Son for the people of this world. God offered His Son as a sacrifice for sins of every human being that has been born or ever will be born. That's from Adam all the way to the last person. Easter only really means something, and it can only really be celebrated because of what He did on the cross. And because the 3 days and three nights after Jesus became the sacrifice for our sins, He arose victoriously over death and the grave. You see, we serve a living God. Jesus is a living Savior, not some dead Savior, not somebody that we can go and say, well, there's His bones. Pharaoh was a god, as far as the world's concerned. I've seen his bones. Pharaoh, they know exactly where he's at, mummified, all of them, because, see, each one of them was a god. They know exactly where Allah's at, Muhammad. They know exactly where, what's the dude with the Hindu? They know exactly where he's at. But Jesus ain't in there. The only thing He left in there was a rag. And by the way, that rag was folded and left laying there neatly. Do you know why? You see, when you go to a restaurant, if you leave your little hand towel laying there folded, that means you're coming back to the table and they leave your stuff alone. But if you wad it up and throw it down and you're gone, don't get mad at them if you come back and everything's moved. Do you know they still understand that? You see, that was in the culture. When Jesus left the tomb, He left His little towel that was around His head folded nice and neatly because He was coming back. But He wasn't coming back to the tomb. He's coming back to get His people. You see, He was the first fruits of His people. Jesus is a risen Savior, and He is alive. Christmas fulfills all Scripture. And it qualifies Christ as the virgin-born, sinless, spotless Lamb of God, able to be sacrificed to take away the sins of the world. But Easter qualifies Jesus to be the risen Savior. You see, the Messiah of all mankind. Christmas, He could have come, and it was all in Scripture He was coming. And He could have been the sinless Lamb. And they could have put Him up there and crucified Him, made sure He was dead, which was what they were doing. They were walking along to make sure they were dead. But if He hadn't have got up out of the grave, what a waste of time. That would have been a waste. All of what we celebrated for Christmas wouldn't mean a hill of beans if what we celebrated this morning at 6:15 when we were out here, Jesus coming out of the grave, if He hadn't have done that, all of that stuff, And all of the scriptures that qualified Jesus to be the sinless, spotless Lamb, all of these scriptures in the Old Testament from Genesis all the way through Malachi, everything that talked about how Jesus was going to come and He was going to be the sinless, spotless Lamb and that He was going to be the sacrifice for all of mankind, it had all been a waste of time. It'd all be lies if Jesus hadn't have gotten up. You see, today, because He was risen, qualified all of that to take place. There's many people that have died on crosses. That was one of the most cruelest deaths possible known to man. They have studied that and studied it and studied it. I'll tell you what. Look it up. Read crucifixion. And if you don't shed a tear, you got problems. It is horrible. I can't even imagine the pain and suffering people went through on the cross. The cross was unreal. But then Jesus, beaten, flesh ripped off His body, you could see His insides. You ever watch The Passion of the Christ by Mel Gibson? If you haven't, watch it. I'm not advocating for the Catholics or any of the rest of them. Actually, it made a bunch of them mad. Made Hollywood really angry. They about canceled the poor guy. But he told the truth in that story. I had a lady tell me, oh, I saw where they, you know, when they brought Jesus out there and he was, I don't think he looked that bad. I looked at her and I said, no, I don't either. I said, I think he looked a whole lot worse. I don't think they realized it was a human being hanging there. I've been in a few fist fights. I have, just a few. You swell up. Your face looks kind of odd. You know, you get different colors. We just watched Sister Deb and all of her colors. You know, all of that stuff just... But Jesus, I don't even think He looked human. So, not just the crucifixion. That wasn't good enough. They beat Him unmerciful. But then, the worst of it came. That wasn't even the worst part. The crucifixion wasn't really the worst part. The worst part was when two things that took place. He took on all of our sins. Every sin of every human being from Adam to the last one that ain't been born yet. He took all that on to Him. Can you imagine the weight of that mentally? And then, to top it all off, God turned His back on His Son. Wow. I can't even imagine my dad. My dad said something to me one time that, oh, it hurt me horribly. But He never has turned His back on me. And God had to turn His back. And Jesus screamed out, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? That's when it really hurt. You see, many have died on crosses. And they could have died for good reasons. Honestly. If we went up against this nation right now in an uprising, a lot of us probably die. But it'd be for good cause. There's been a lot of people die on crosses for good cause, but ain't none of them ever come back from the grave except for Jesus. You see, in the birth of Jesus was the Son of God. In birth, Jesus was the Son of God. Galatians 4:4 says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Jesus was a servant, Luke chapter 2, verse 49. He was a servant of God. How is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business? He was serving the Lord. Jesus was nailed to the cross, which fulfilled God's great promise, John 3:16. When He was nailed to the cross, when He was taken as the Lamb. And if you study all that, you'll find out that in the Old Testament, they had to pick the Lamb. And then so many days later, the Lamb was crucified, was killed. It was sacrificed. Jesus was sacrificed right at the right time, right when it was all supposed to happen. And He was nailed to the cross. He became that promise. Jesus' death on the cross was the only and last sacrifice for sins. There is nothing else that can take that place. Now, yeah, one of these days the Jews are going to be able to rebuild their temple by a false leader. And they're going to start their sacrifices up. They supposedly got the red heifer down here in Texas. Who really cares? The red heifer and all of their sacrifices cannot do away with our sins. Only the blood of Jesus Christ could do that. By the way, you start seeing these things. The red heifer, you better start packing a bag. Because I'm going to be up front with you. I don't see how we can go much longer. I really don't. I don't see my grandkids ever making it to adulthood before the rapture happens. I honestly don't think these children here will make it before the rapture happens. I don't think some of us sitting in here is going to see the grave. I think they'll see the rapture happen. We are so close. You see, He was the sacrifice for our sins once and for all. Hebrews 10:12 said, "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God." There is nobody else up there with God except for Jesus. When Jesus came out of the grave, He went to the right hand of God. What was He doing for 3 days? He was just sleeping. No. No. He went down to the realm of the dead, which is called grave, hell, Sheol, Hades. He went down to the realm of the dead. And Jesus even told us there's two compartments down there, by the way. One's called paradise. That's a place of rest. And it's a holding area. And the next one, it's called hell, where there's nothing but torment. He went down and He didn't go to hell. He went to paradise and He showed them. He said, "This is what you believed in. I have fulfilled the promise." We look back on that fulfilling of the promise. They looked for it. One of these days, Jesus is going to show up and you're going to see the nail scarred in His hands. You're going to see where they pierced His side. You see, Jesus was buried in the tomb to be our substitute for death. 3 days later, on the first day of the week, Christ arose from the grave to be our Lord and Savior. 1 Peter 1:3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Woo! Listen, Jesus is alive. He came out of the grave on the first day of the week. And He is in heaven at the right hand of God. Christmas and Easter, they're not just common holidays. Thanksgiving. That's just a holiday. Great what they did, but it's just a holiday. Martin Luther King, hey, he done some good things, but that's just a holiday. George Washington, what a holiday. That's just a holiday, though. It's all it is. President's Day, they call it. Postmen were getting too many days off, so they had to narrow it down to one. We're going to add them all in this one. And that's what was taking place. They were getting lazy, so they said, "We got to take them all and put them in." Listen, they just made President's Day. It's just a holiday. But Christmas and Easter, they're not just common holidays. They're far from that. All other holidays one day will vanish. They'll just be forgotten. But 10,000 years from now, you'll still be shouting, hallelujah, that Jesus was born, and hallelujah, that He was sacrificed and come out of the grave alive and sit down on that right hand of God. We'll still be celebrating that. Not only that, we will see it. We will see Christ standing there. You see, these are the two holidays that are the greatest and most extraordinary days that has ever been recorded in human history. And trust me, they're going to keep on and keep on and keep on trying to erase it because they want to do away with Christianity. Mark my word, hopefully you won't be here, but whenever the rapture happens and we're gone, and they want to get rid of you. Listen, they just soon kill you now. They don't like Christians. Try to go to schools. Try to go to government places. Try to go and preach about Jesus and take your Bible. They will tell you, you can't do that. But you can bring a Quran in there. You can bring satanic stuff in there. You bring whatever you want. Just don't bring the Bible and talk about Jesus. You try that and see what happens. They want to get rid of you, but one of these days, they're going to be saying, boy, I sure wish them Christians was back. They just think this place is wicked. It ain't wicked yet. You think of the horrible, most horrible thing you can think of that has been done to a human being, and that's nothing. That's like Sunday school. That's like a cakewalk compared to what this nation, and well, really this whole world will be like once we're gone. You see, 10,000 years from now, we're going to still celebrate it. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. You see, what the Word of God is, and what Jesus really did, by getting saved, it transforms people. I can clean you up. I can take a pig, wash it, scrub it down, make it clean enough that you could kiss it. Put some perfume on it and they'd smell so good. But you let them out, they go right back to the wallow wherever they come out of, and they roll around in urine and feces and mud and water. And my grandmother used to slop the hogs, they called it. It was all the goodies all week long would go in a bucket. And she'd have a 5-gallon bucket or maybe two or three of them, depending on how many people visited her. All of the ruined junk, that's all went in there. And they'd go out, and she'd walk up to that pen, and they had a big old trough, and man, they just, and them things would waller all in that mess and eat it. It sounded horrible. And it looked horrible. Smelled bad. They loved it. But you see, before I got saved, I loved the filth that the world offered. Loved it. Didn't have a problem with it. Accepted all this junk that goes on. No big issue to me. I don't care. Do what you want to do. But when I got saved, see, there was a change that started taking place within inside me that I couldn't change. I can change the outside, man. I can make myself look really good. Get rid of all the wrinkles, and I can dye my hair, make me look even younger. I mean, I know I don't look 63, but hey, I can make myself whatever I need to. I can put on an Armani suit, but inside, if it ain't changed, it ain't going to matter. It's all about what's in here. You see, when a person trusts Jesus Christ as their Savior, all of that changes. No longer do they want to be involved in this kind of stuff. I'm not saying you won't get involved, but there's that little nagging in there that says you shouldn't be doing that. No longer could you think the same way that you thought before. And when you do think that way, it's like, well, you know, I really shouldn't think that. You know, somebody told me before I got saved about abortion. I'm like, well, whatever, I ain't a doctor. But once I got saved, I realized, wait a minute. Life begins at conception. Not 10 weeks, 12 weeks, 3 months down the road. When the sperm cell and the egg comes together, that's life. And if you take that life, you are a murderer. But they want you to believe, oh, that's fine. And we did. Listen, no big deal. They told us it was just a blob. That's what they lied to these poor women that went and had it done. Lied to them. Oh, it's just a fetus. Till we looked up what fetus meant. It meant baby. Human. But see, it didn't bother me. After I got saved, though, I'm like, wait a minute. We shouldn't be doing that. You see, there's a lot of things. I shouldn't be going out and drinking. I shouldn't be going out and chasing women. I shouldn't be going out and hanging out in the honky-tonks. And somebody told me the other day, we were talking about drinking, and they said, well, it's really, you know, it's kind of okay to drink. And I said, well, here's my problem. I said, I can prove to you it's not out of the Bible. I said, but here's my problem. If I go hang out down at Lily Lane Trees, which was a cowboy bar where I was from, if I go hang out down there, Sally, who just come in and thought I was good looking, and she's ugly. But the longer I sit there, the better looking she gets. And then I'm going to get in trouble. You see, the Lord said, you need to stay away from that kind of stuff. All of a sudden, all of those things just didn't feel right because 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, when we've accepted Christ as our Lord and Savior, all of those things start changing. I've said this many times, and April just sent me something the other day. I like what the preacher said. I'm like, oh, he copied me. No, not really. He says, I used to tell the guys I preached to in the jail, you know, just as soon as I get out, Brother Jim, man, I can't wait to go get a good drink, smoke some dope. And I'm like, and that's why you're in here. Well, and if I get saved, I can't do that no more. I said, no. I said, do you want to go roll a doobie? Roll one. You want to go get some Jack Daniels? Get it. Well, if I get saved, I can't do that. I said, show it to me. There ain't nowhere in the Bible that says that. But what it does say is you start changing from in here outwardly. And you get to where rolling that doobie's not a big issue no more. Drawing a line out there ain't a big deal. I ain't interested. Going out and partying with all the guys and the girls and drinking, I don't feel right doing that anymore. And there's a reason why. It's because you're taking the Holy Spirit places out not to be going. Man, when I look back at where all I took the Holy Spirit, I'm like, are you kidding me? Really? And the Lord says, wherever you go is on holy ground. Wow, I'm ashamed, to be honest with you. That's sad. But you know what? The Lord forgives us. When we know we've messed up, listen, we know we're going to heaven, but we know, I shouldn't think that way. I shouldn't do that. All we got to do, seriously, from our heart, ask Jesus to forgive us, and He said He will. Boy, I just don't know if I can get saved. I don't even know if I'm going to heaven. I ain't sure I can get saved. I've done bad stuff. It doesn't matter. Paul got saved, and he drugged Christians off to have them eaten by lions and killed by gladiators. That was his job. That was his lifelong. Man, he wanted to do that bad. And he believed in God. But you see, when Jesus came into his heart, that all changed. Because Jesus will change you from the inside out. Let's stand. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Sister Diane's going to come up and play an invitation. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for this time that we have, that this day that we can celebrate your Son who rose from the grave, who gave his life for the sins of this world. And no matter, Lord, what they try to say about Resurrection Sunday, no matter how they try to change that, or how Christmas is commercialized, or the rainbow has been taken and all messed up, no matter what they do, we know what the Word of God says, and we believe in that, in your promises. We know that that rainbow came to be because you promised not to flood the earth again, and you gave a promise and a sign in the sky to Noah. We know that you overshadowed Mary, and even though I can't understand that, she carried the Son of God and had him in a manger. We know that no matter how all it took place, that Jesus hung on the cross, that he shed his blood for us, that he took on him, himself, the sins of the world. What a weight that had to have been. And he was laid in a tomb. But 3 days later, he came to life. He arose from that tomb. We know that's the power of God. And we know that by trusting him, asking Jesus into our heart, that we can have eternal life with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we thank you. And these things we pray in Christ's name. Every head bowed and every eye closed, as Sister Diane prays. Do you know 100%, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that if you pass from this life, that you'll wake up in heaven? If you know that, amen. But if you don't know that, you need to listen very closely to what I'm going to tell you. I can be your best friend today, or I can be your worst enemy. Because if I give you the gospel of Jesus Christ, which I've done today, and you walk out of here or turn off this sound, listen, you reject Jesus Christ, I would be your worst enemy, because you'll wake up in a place called hell when you pass away. And you'll remember every day of your life for eternity how many times you walked away from Jesus, and you should have allowed him in your life. You should have asked him. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. It's not hard. You don't have to change your life, because actually you can't. Only the Lord Jesus can change your heart. Only the Lord Jesus can change your life. But don't give it up because of something that ridiculous. Don't walk away from the Lord Jesus Christ. Accept him into your life. Ask him to save you. Because he will. He will in no wise turn you away. Maybe you say, you know I'm going to heaven. I don't have a problem there. I've trusted Jesus, but I'm not living the way I should as a Christian. Listen, Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The point is, you can't do it on your own. You have to have Jesus. That's the only way you can live your life the way you're supposed to live. And we're not going to live a perfect life, not on this earth, because there's too many temptations. And we've got a sinful nature and we fall. But every time we fall, the Lord picks us right back up, puts us on our feet, dusts us off, sends us on our way. We'll never be sinless here. But we can sin less while we're on this earth if we're willing to allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives.